About a year ago, Purdue engineering professor Andy Welton started a Kickstarter campaign to fund his CIPP research, in part because he'd had to use some of his own cash to keep it going. Here he is in his lab.
This is cured in place pipe. So literally what happens is when they cure the materials, they drag this basically a damp, wet, chemical-filled sock into the pipe. They cap it, and then they heat it.
That sock expands to fill a pipe, and after a few hours, all the interior cracks are covered over by a new layer of material. Half of all the water pipe repair in the U.S. is now done this way. Welton opens a red picnic cooler that has what looks like pieces of concrete inside it, each encased in their own heavy plastic bag.
I mean, you can feel it. It can't get any harder than that. And it's fiberglass with resin inside it. And one of the main chemicals that they use in the process is called styrene, which is a known human carcinogen.
Welton had begun investigating CIPP after receiving several calls from people who lived or worked near sites where it was being installed. That styrene creates a strong odor, which is one of the telltale signs that so-called trenchless pipe repair is going on nearby. In fact, news reports from across the U.S. and Canada include tales of that smell.
Ashley Sloyer's used to airing out her home these days. She has to because of what she describes as a constant burning plastic smell.
On Thursday, while a construction company was relining sewer and water piping on Washington Avenue, the chemical used started seeping into residents' homes. Gagnon and four other families complaining of the odor were evacuated.
It's a store for mothers with newborns. But right now, the fragrance of the natural care products that line the shelves has been replaced by another, less wholesome odor.
The companies installing CIPP say the odor comes from styrene and dissipates quickly, but Welton says there was little data to show that that's all it was.
We're caring about when they're pumping in that steam and the odor gets really, really strong when they're pumping that in around the workspace, or there's this white stuff floating around in the air. What is that? What are the exposures?
That white plume also became a focus of the research. Welton and his team visited several sites and placed air quality monitors in and around the chemical clouds to capture samples of emissions that the professor now definitively says are not steam. Video Welton's team took at a site on the Purdue University campus shows workers in orange vests, but no other safety equipment, as they walk in and around a plume that's flowing from an open manhole. Welton also submitted public records requests to several American cities that he knew had used CIPP. Some, such as St. Louis and Los Angeles, sent back the data he requested. Others, such as Chicago, said they could not comply because a private firm handles repairs for the city there and isn't subject to public records laws. All that was months ago. When we caught up with Welton on the eve of his findings being published, he was more sure about what should be done.
Based on what we've seen, the steam-cured CIPP should not continue to be used as it's being used today.
The paper, published in the journal Environmental Science and Technology Letters, shows more than a dozen chemicals are present in the white plumes, which Welton says include other known carcinogens besides styrene.
You know, I've seen a lot of reports, quite frankly, and many of them have been faulty.
That's Jerry Munchmeyer, who's now a CIPP consultant and has previously been on the board of the National Association of Sewer Service Companies, or NASCO, the trade group that advocates for trenchless repair technology. He couldn't comment on Welton's study specifically, but says he has his doubts.
I mean, the industry tests this all the time. We know exactly what the concentrations are and whatnot. And the information was totally impossible. It couldn't happen.
Why do you say it was impossible?
Because we've tested it in similar situations.
Ironically, both Munchmeyer and Welton use the same rationale for their arguments, that their data is better.
I have no problem with looking at issues like this. But the data has to be accurate. The data has to be correct. Otherwise, you're putting stuff out there that is just another scare tactic that has no basis. If it has basis, then something should be done about it. I agree with you.
There have been two studies that I'm aware of that have been made public by industry, but they have narrowly focused on certain chemicals. They have ignored other issues, and they actually didn't declare most of their methods about how they did the study, so you can't actually determine if the data is even valid or representative of anything.
Welton says his team has perhaps the first reliable information about what's emitted from steam-cured CIPP sites, both from what he's measured and what he's personally seen.
On a work site that we visited, and we were collecting sample of the uncured resin, one of the students was helping me, and I was handling the uncured resin fabric. And my nitrile gloves, plastic gloves, dissolved away in about 30 seconds to a minute.
Welton says he's expecting pushback from the industry, but he's hopeful the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, or NIOSH, will issue a notice about CIPP upon seeing his findings. That would give him a powerful ally in his push to reform a system that'll be very busy in the coming years, as most states grapple with the fact they've let roads, bridges, and pipes rot.
One of the reasons why I got into civil environmental engineering is because I wanted to help people. And that's how I've kind of tried to lead my professional career. Can I help people? Because the workers out there are well-meaning individuals that are rebuilding the infrastructure for us. And the least we can do is make sure that their health is protected.
Welton hopes his research leads industry leaders to seek him out so they can work on solutions together, solutions he's already developing in his lab. Until then, he sees a sort of Wild West-style landscape that lacks regulations, a problem he hopes to fix. And, as he says, the first cowboy through the door usually takes the most arrows. For WBAA News, I'm Stan Jastrzebski.